Disclaimer: The Prisoner of Choice is a work of fiction. Any resemblance with any person, incident, or organization is merely coincidental. This audiobook may contain material unsuitable for those weak at heart. Audience discretion is advised. Chapter 8: The Great Rift Valley. On the 25th day since the day I had departed from Cairo, the caravan rolled into Addis Ababa. The Ethiopian capital was resplendent with scores of eucalyptus trees planted throughout the city. The caravan rolled through to the main market square. As I glanced out of the window, I could clearly see the imperial palace on the background imposing its grotesque image on the clear blue sky. Imperialism had brought the worst of evils to the continent of Africa. A region once the center of trade and power in the world had now been reduced to being the most underdeveloped continent on the face of this earth. I marveled at the various stages of evolution that every single entity on earth passed through. Each and everything had a beginning, a middle, and an end. Every rise had a period of sustainability and a justified fall. Thus the law of evolution was proved in its very existence. Nothing was permanent, and everything was subject to the winds of change. I cognized it as I entered the Ethiopian capital of Addis Ababa. Asafa had asked me to alight at City Square once I reached my destination. He said that I would find further directions on the road itself. God has ordained a mighty guide for you, or so he said, and he shall find you before you feel the need to seek for him. He shall lead you further towards salvation on the journey of your search for redemption, Asafa said to me. Heeding his wise words, I alighted at the city square and relieved the caravan owner of his duties. He was only too glad at having finally disposed of me, for he too had noticed the highly irregular events that occurred around me. The entire experience of traveling with me had been a bit frightening for the poor man. As he departed, I trudged along, walking through the many alleys of the city square. I had not a care on my mind, for I knew and believed in the edict that Asafa had laid down for me. I knew that the Lord had ordained a mighty guide for me, and that he would find me before I even felt his need. That was endearing to know, and hence I moved along, walking through the city at a leisurely pace, taking in the surroundings and the serenity that filled this land. There was a strange sense of familiarity in the air of that region. I could feel it in my breath as each fresh gust of wind that blew through my flowing locks brought a strange and queer sense of deja vu with itself. I continued to walk through the city. As I walked through the city, I came upon a group of archaeologists who were heading towards the Great Rift Valley. The Ethiopian terrain was considered by many as the place of origin of humankind. It was the place where human life was believed to have first taken form, and thus it was a thriving hub for historians and archaeologists who strive to map each and every single moment of history throughout the ages. Little did they realize that history was in the making in that very moment. Asafa had made little provisions for my accommodation, as he said that he had very few contacts in that part of the continent. Yet he had provided me with ample supplies to last me for a month, and so I was in no particular hurry to find a way out of my predicament. I knew that the Lord was around, waiting in silence for the right moment to come by, before he could further lead me on my quest. Asafa had told me that my paths would lead me through the Great Rift Valley eastwards towards the Gulf of Aden. From then onwards, I knew not where my destiny lay, but for the moment, I had a path to walk on and the resources with me to undertake a journey. Hence I decided to accompany one of the archaeological groups who were on their way towards an expedition in the Great Rift Valley. They seemed to be pretty amicable people and did not mind me tagging along with them. We were in a dangerous part of the world, and armed robberies were a common occurrence in the desert. There were many desert tribes stranded throughout the region, and it only bode well to travel in a group. Although I feared not for my own life, I knew that I had a responsibility on my shoulders. A bond was laid upon me to reach the destination that Asafa had told me about, and thus I was taking utmost care to ensure that no negligence occurred on my part to ensure a safe journey. Thus I reached a mutual agreement with the archaeologist, and we set off towards our destination the very next day. The Great Rift Valley was in itself a vast span of dread and desolation that stretched endlessly up ahead of us as we embarked on our journey the following day. The sun beat down hard on our backs as we slumped on our horses and made our journey eastwards. I had directions from Asafa to head towards the Gulf of Aden, and thus it was mutually decided that I would part ways with the archaeologist at the site of the excavations in the valley. That day there was an air of dread and somberness surrounding the whole group as we made our way through the vast aridness of the region. It appeared as if the air was heavy with a strange sense of foreboding that seemed to bring with itself tidings of death and destruction to our heart. Thus none rejoiced the day, and all longed for its passing, each individual silently doubting his own choice that had led him inadvertently to this dreaded day. Each time we passed a dead stream or a drying rivulet, it brought to our minds the dreaded history of this region. Man had evolved through these very lands, and the charred earth bore the memories of his multitude attempts of upheaval. Of the many kings that ruled in aimless vanity, only to finally die a silent, anonymous death, evolution had outlived itself on these lands. Man had risen, ruled, and died a million times, and thus the earth, which then chided us as we walked warily on its surface, knew the truth deep down in her bosom. We were but victims of fate, pawns in the hands of destiny, and inconsequential tools in the eyes of time. The day was drawing to a close, and we decided to set up camp. None wished to travel through the valley in the dark of the night, for it was not the living that they feared, it was the dead. That which had long passed away, but to this day had not moved on. In every heart there now lurked a fear, which with the onset of darkness was amplified tenfold. There was a strange sense of weariness and despair in all our hearts. We could ride no longer. There were 11 of us, and so we set up 3 tents with 3 people to each. It was decided that 2 people would be the sentinels, as we wished not to be caught unawares in a deep slumber. I had decided to take up the first watch, and so I sat down on the ground beside the fire which burned steadily with a resolute flame. Alfred, a historian, was assigned to the task of taking the first watch with me, and he sat alongside the fire, warming his hands and taking a swig of his brandy every now and then. I could see that he was afraid of the predicament that he was caught in. The valley, which seemed dreadful and desolate by day, turned sinister and deathly by night. Poisonous reptiles and animals which lay hidden from the sun by the day now emerged to hunt in the night. I could sense the mounting fear in his eyes as he thought of all the perils that surrounded him, and to soothe his nerves he took another swig from his hip flask. I realized that Alfred was a tragedy waiting to happen, and so I asked him to head on towards his tent and get some well-deserved rest. The group had ridden all day, and their aching bodies ensured that the fear in their hearts could hardly keep the sweet solace of slumber away from their eyes. Without even questioning my offer once, Alfred trudged away into his tent, and shortly I could hear his muffled grunt synchronized with the symphonic snores of the rest of the group. I smiled to myself and hummed a happy tune. All was going well. at least for now.